8:16 on the ticket. It's Friday morning with the Musers. More on the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, which is tomorrow, and how the sports world dealt with it. That's coming up at 8:55. We're back from summer vacation this week, and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week, I've been telling stories of my trip to Africa. First time to that continent, first time south of the equator, and had just the trip of a lifetime. So on Monday, it was Doha, Qatar, and Cape Town. On Wednesday, it was about the stop in Zimbabwe. And today, Chapter 3, we finished the trip in South Africa. We started it in Cape Town in that part of the continent, then made our way to Zimbabwe, but back to South Africa for the final 4 days near Kruger National Park, which is in the northeast part of the country. And it's one of the biggest national parks in the world. It is massive. It is the size, I believe, of Maryland.
This is Lon Kruger National Park.
No, it has nothing to do with Lon Kruger, the Freddy Sooner Kruger. Coach. No, nothing to do with Freddy Kruger. Kruger National Park. So we took a flight from Zambia back into South Africa and had a 90-minute drive from the airport through the countryside. Very lush farmland right around the airport, lots of avocados, citrus, etc. Felt kind of like California. A lot of mountains, too. And then you get more out into the savannah, and you get to the lodge that we stayed at. And the lodge bordered Kruger National Park, but there are no fences between the park and the lodge. And the lodge is in this very, very large swath of land with a bunch of other different lodges. And these are all eco-lodges, eco-tourism. When they started 100 years ago, they hunted, but about 60 years ago, they turned into non-hunting lodges. So if you want to do the hunting safari like Gordo has done, there are plenty of places that you could do. But in this spot of the world in South Africa, it's no hunting. It's all ecotourism. So people go there just to get close to the animals, to see these incredible creatures in person, and to take pictures of them. So I took my camera, which was a Christmas gift from Gordo, my new rig. I had a couple sets of Sirius glass and no roll.
No lenses, but...
No roll. Never used roll the whole trip.
Yeah, because it's a digital camera.
And loved having it, Gordo, so got such great use out of the camera. By the way, I'm posting a lot of pictures this week from the trip on my Instagram. That's at Junes Miller. I posted yesterday a bunch of my favorite close-ups from the trip. And that first picture is of a clip springer. It's like this little, it looks like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer almost, and they just hop on rocks.
Yes.
They stay on the rocks. They're really cool. So anyway, you can kind of play along following on Instagram.
So did you get a picture of a dick dick?
Yes, I think so.
Gordon's favorite animal.
And a titmouse.
So it was really cool going to the heart of where all of the wildlife was. We saw a lot of wildlife in Zimbabwe and Zambia, but this is like the epicenter of it. Because they're not hunted here, so you have a very large concentration of it. And you do these safari drives, these game drives, in what is a giant Range Rover. I'll call it a Jeep. And it's an open-top, open-sided vehicle.
Mm.
Now, they've been driving these all over the savannah in this part of South Africa for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. So the animals and many generations of the animals have grown accustomed to these vehicles. They're non-threatening. You know, no one in the vehicle ever harms the animals. And so they never really try to get in their way or anything. So the animals see the Jeeps as non-factors. They almost completely ignore you sometimes. Some of the more sensitive animals would notice you and maybe move, or some, we had in one case, an animal came toward us a couple of times. And so they're aware of you, but for the most part, they don't care, which allows you to get really, really close to these animals and take some great pictures. And on top of that, the best thing is just getting so close and observing the animals. We would find certain animals and just sit there for 45 minutes or an hour just watching their behavior. And that is fascinating, watching them eat or how they handle their cubs or just how they hunt, how they stalk their prey. Great.
Do you think a teenager would sit and watch 45 minutes, Giorgio, of an animal just doing a whole bunch of nothing?
They would be on their phone. You'd have to say, Jimmy, look, a lion.
Yeah, hold on. Hang on.
Hang on.
Scrolling through the comments on the Slow Scram.
So we had a ranger when we got to this lodge, which is the oldest lodge in this part of South Africa near Kruger. And I believe it was the first to go to the ecotourism model. When you get to this lodge, they assign you a ranger, and that ranger is going to be with you for however long you're there, 1 day, 2 weeks. And they want the same ranger with you so that they'll know what you've seen on your trip, which animals you've seen, what you want to do. They get to know you. You have dinner with the ranger that night to get to know each other a little bit more. And the ranger does everything. So we greeted her. She's one of the first female rangers in the history of this reserve.
Wow.
And she was young, 26 years old, and she was incredibly competent and knowledgeable about all the wildlife, including birds, reptiles, everything. Just knew. I can't tell you how much I learned in 4 days just being with her and listening to her talk about animal behavior. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating. So they greet you in the morning, and each you do two game drives a day. One starts around 6:30 or 7 in the morning, and the other around 3 or 4 in the evening. That's when the animals are out the most, feeding time, things like that.
Did you experience the temperature drop?
Yes.
It's crazy. I swear it would be like 30-degree difference. I mean, wow. When it's nighttime, it gets cold, and then it just heats up.
Crazy.
And then at night, when you're coming back, if you're coming back after the sun's really setting, you feel that temperature just plummet.
And I think you went to Africa the same time I did, which is our summer, their winter.
Right.
So the evenings did get down into the 40s.
Yeah.
And the daytime, it was 80, 85. Mm-hmm. Really nice. But yeah, crazy extremes. So we would meet her in the morning, and she would, the first thing, go get the rifle. And she puts the rifle on the Jeep right in front of her. It's on a rack right like where the windshield would be. There's no windshield, so she puts it right there.
Did you ask her if she was a really good shot?
Yeah, we talked about that, and they have to take these courses constantly to make sure they're a good shot.
How good are you at shooting that thing?
So just because they have a rifle, you know it's kind of dangerous.
Sure.
So you get into the Jeep, and then it's like, okay, what do you want to see today? Well, our first day, we said, let's just, whatever's out there. So they're on in radio communication with all of the other drivers, and pretty much everybody gets their own ranger. Some parties are bigger. We just had us in the Jeep, the two of us, with Robin, the ranger. Me and the woman of my choosing at the current time, and a ranger. But some families traveled. There'd be six, you know, or eight of them, and they'd all be in the Jeep with a ranger. So we were lucky in that there were just the three of us in the Jeep. So it was great. We had the Jeep to ourselves, basically. So she gets on her radio and listens to all of the other rangers to see what's out there, if there have been any sightings overnight or tracks or anything popping up early. So our first morning drive, she says there's been a leopard spotted.
Mm.
So we drove up, get it? A spotted. We drove up, and there was already one other Jeep there, and you could kind of see the leopard through the trees. And then the leopard was stalking an impala. Impala are like our deer. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And so we sat there for probably an hour watching this leopard stalk an impala. It eventually gave up the hunt. It didn't get the impala. They ran away. And it went back to its den where we saw the leopard and the leopard cub. So we got all sorts of great pictures of this leopard. Saw the cub, which was a rare sighting, we were told, to see a leopard cub. That's pretty rare. So already I feel like I've won. I'm like, I've been this close to a leopard, and the leopard walked by the Jeep a couple of times to where we were within 10 feet of it.
Is the leopard the one that jumps on you and claws out your innards?
Yeah.
Is that how they...
Yeah, if you get attacked by a leopard, they jump at you. They clamp around your throat with their teeth. They hold you with their claws, their front legs, while their bottom legs just start working to scoop out your innards. Just,
really?
Yeah, like a cat box. They're just scooping out your innards, just pulling them up.
Good thing you didn't tell him that before he went over there.
So this is interesting because the number one question I had for Norm and Donovan, Gordo, anybody who's been to Africa and done a trip like this was, how safe are you in the Jeep? I was worried about the animals jumping into the Jeep and killing you.
Because you're in the area of the Big Five. I mean, you got all Big Five right there.
Right there. And so I was concerned about this because it just seemed like I kept asking people, are there ever stories of the lion turning on the Jeep and jumping in there? And
we don't answer those questions here.
And everybody said no. Our ranger said she's never had to fire her rifle. She didn't know any other rangers that have ever had to fire their rifle at a charging animal, anything like that. And the more we went on these drives, the more I realized, yeah, they pretty much ignore us, yet there was always this element of fear, for me at least.
Mm-hmm.
And the ranger would say, no, that animal doesn't even see you, or no, I could tell that animal wasn't upset because when they're upset, their ears go down, their tail goes up. You know, the ranger knows so much about these animals that they can tell whether they're bothered by us or upset by us. She did say she had had an elephant charge her.
Probably when it's in must.
Maybe.
Because when those male elephants get in must, they get real aggressive.
But it was one of those fake charges where they run towards you, then slam on the brakes like a warning charge. She said that had happened to her a couple of times, but they had never heard of any of these animals jumping in the Jeep. But I'm still concerned by this. The leopard came real close to the Jeep. That was great. I thought just seeing a leopard would make my whole trip, and I got some good shots of it and whatever.
But she doesn't have the gun trained on it when it's close, and it can just hop right up there.
And here's the deal. The gun is on a rack on the hood, and I'm thinking the leopard is 10 feet from us. If the leopard decided it wanted to eat me, you can't get that gun out fast enough, cock it, and shoot.
Right.
There's no way.
Remove the safety lock.
Right. There's just no way. Now, you might save everybody else in the vicinity, but I'm going to be the sacrificial lamb. Nothing happened with the leopard, and the rest of the day was great. The morning and the evening, we saw giraffe, we saw Cape buffalo, we saw elephant, wildebeest, jackal, zebra, hyena. They give you a list at check-in of all the species, mammals, birds, reptiles, and we must have seen 75, 100 different species of things. It was incredible. And it was so much fun to check things off the list. And at the end of every day, everybody gets back to the lodge at 6:30, and everybody goes to the bar at 7, and they've got a fire going because it's now cold outside, and everybody's having drinks and sharing tales of the different animals they saw.
Right.
And they've got a big chalkboard up behind the bar, and you mark off what you've seen, and you get 200 points for sightings of rare animals, where for an impala you get 1 point because they're everywhere.
Right.
It was so much fun. And then you would eat your dinner outdoors and talk about all the great animals you saw.
And didn't you say you ate eland?
Ate eland. It was delicious.
It's so good.
Best steak ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so these drives continue, and on day 2 and on day 3, we saw the king of the jungle, the lion, and we got really, really close to a lion. And coming up next, I'm going to tell you the story of the most scared I've ever been in my life.